Active Church, what's up? I'm so glad you're here today. I'm glad to be with you on this Sunday morning. I'm here in our live studio at the Fremont with our live studio audience. Say what's up, everybody. All right. Thank you, Mom. Just kidding. But seriously, I'm glad you guys are here. And we are not physically together, but man, we are with you in spirit in your living room or wherever you're watching this. And I'm just so proud of our church. We've been seeing our church, even though we've been in this season of quarantine or lockdown or sheltering at home, we've seen the gospel go. It's been incredible. It's been crazy to see what God's doing, the amount of views, the amount of likes, the amount of shares on our Facebook wall. I mean, our message, what God's doing through this church is reverberating around our community, and it's because of people like you that are tuning in and sharing. So thank you for continuing to do that. It really means so much to me. I want to read to you out of the Word of God this morning because I'm going to tell you right now, the message I'm going to bring today is one of conviction because I know so many of us we have a smile on the Zoom call, but behind that smile, we're struggling. And there's days where I'm struggling too behind I'm choosing faith. Come on, I'm faithing it. But there's days where I know I just got to reach out to somebody. I just need to tell someone where I'm at. And I just believe that today's message is going to challenge you in a good way. It might make you feel a little uncomfortable at times. You might not even want to watch this. If you're looking for like just only the feel good, I'm going to give you the truth and then I'm going to encourage you. So I just want you to know where we're going this morning. But it's going to be, for some of us, it's going to be uncomfortable. And I get that because today I'm talking about addiction, talking about pornography a little bit. Nothing graphic, but I'm just going to be mentioning words like that. And so if you have littles around, maybe have them go play somewhere else. But I just believe this message is so necessary while we are stuck in place. I want to read to you out of 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica. And he's writing to them in a kind of a dissertation of the end times. And I don't know if we're how close we are to the end times, but I know we're closer than we were yesterday, and we may not be there right now, but certainly God is got a plan for your life, and He's got a plan for His bride. And the Bible says it declares He's coming back for His bride. How about you? But man, I want to be ready on that day. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 of the NIV says this: May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Don't you love that? That idea of sanctification, it means that He's cleaning you, He's making you new, He's setting you apart. He says, and may your whole spirit, not just your Sunday person, not just your hallelujah brother, blessed by the best, good to see you, God bless, like not just the Sunday Christian that we can portray, like the part of you that you try to hide and cover up, the part of me that I try to hide and cover up, God wants to sanctify and make every part of you and I whole. Isn't that cool? Your whole spirit, your soul, watch this, your body, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for today. I need your help to speak this with boldness, with love, clarity, with grace and truth. Help your people to lean in, God. Help the people that call you Lord to reflect and analyze and examine, and those that don't know you, Lord, I pray it brings a godly conviction, a holy, righteous conviction to turn from sin and to walk towards you. You're our only hope ever, ever. You're the only way. May we come before you now, prepared to receive your word. Holy Spirit, move now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look to your neighbor in your living room and in here and say, your body. I'm talking about our bodies today. I'm talking about how we feel about who's in control of our bodies. Because sometimes I feel like, God, you got all of me. You got all of me, my body, everything. And some days I feel like my flesh says, no, I'm calling the shots today. Am I talking to anybody? And I don't feel like I'm the most, I don't have moral authority in this area. Here's why. Because lately, I have not been treating my body very good. I love chips. I love salty food. You could ask me anytime, like, give me a bag of some, like right now on Facebook, throw down your favorite potato chip. For me, I like those Lay's kettle chips, salt and vinegar. Can I get an amen? The salt and vinegar, like, there's something addictive in that. I know what you're doing, Lay's potato chips, and I like it. I like it. You might catch me on a hot Cheeto day because I am from Bakersfield. I am Hispanic, so give me some hot Cheetos and some Pepsi. And you know, it's what's good to you isn't always good for you. But lately, listen, don't judge me. You got your stuff too. Lately, I've actually been, as I suck it in and stand up straight, lately I've been into sweets. Now, I'm not really a sweets kind of guy, more of a salty, savory guy, beef jerky, whatever. But lately, under this lockdown, or whatever we call it, under the quarantine, I've been attracted to sweets, chocolates. I like donuts lately, I'll give you an example. For Mother's Day a few weeks ago, I bought Stacy some donuts. She likes a maple donut, right? I decided to buy 12 donuts. She went to bed at 9:30, 10 o'clock. I was like, hey, babe, I'm going to be watching Netflix. Another thing I've been watching too much of, not controlling my body. And I was like, I'll catch up with you later. I'm going to watch my show. And we all got our show, right? And sometimes your show is not your spouse's show. So that she's like, I'm going to go to bed, which really means she's going to be on Instagram for probably an hour or so. And so I'm downstairs, and man, those donuts were like, Adam, eat me. My body, my mind was telling me no, but my body, my body was saying, go to that box of donuts. And I opened that pink box of donuts, guys, and I got into it, and it was late at night, and I poured myself a big glass of milk, and I realized I finished the first donut before I finished the glass of milk. So what do? You grab another donut because you need a good donut to milk ratio. I ate three donuts, people. Don't amen that. I'm in counseling for this right now. No. I've been eating too much. My body is not, and I've been working out a little bit, but can I just tell you something? When your body gets out of control and starts calling the shots, there's a problem. I want to get serious for a moment. Maybe you've lost some control in some areas of what you thought you had control over. Maybe it was just a little then, but it's a lot more now. Maybe back before this whole thing started, it was easily controlled because of rhythms and work cycles and waking up early. You could say no to that second glass. You could say no to that additional whatever. And now because of COVID-19, our rhythm is off, and so is your ability to say no to certain things that you normally could control. Am I right? And when we lose control, we feel shameful, don't we? Like, I tell you this kind of tongue in cheek, but I don't like the fact that I ate a bunch of donuts. As a matter of fact, like, I feel guilty about it. And there's other things that I do when I say this or I watch too much of, you know, Netflix. I'm like, why am I wasting my time? And actually what happens is I want to hide behind shame and I want to isolate. And some of you might this morning, you might be smiling and be excited and know that, like, you're, you know, on one side you're full of faith, but there's some things in your closet you're going, I'm just not able to kick this thing. You love God and you love Jesus, and so do I, but there's things in our life, if left unchecked, will get the best of us. And I know I've heard too many stories of people that said, I thought I had it under control. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I thought I could handle it by myself. And we know that God can forgive us, and we know that God will take us back. But sometimes we can get in a cycle of asking for God for forgiveness for the same thing we messed up last month. And we go cycle in, cycle out, and suddenly we feel like we're struggling. But I got good news for you. There's a guy named Paul in the Bible that wrote like 2/3 of the New Testament, who was a giant in the faith, and he struggled too. I'm so glad this verse is in the Bible, like legit. Like, if it wasn't, I'd be like, this walk is too hard. Because there's times where I know I love God, but man, I look at my actions, I go, what was I thinking? Paul struggles with this. Romans chapter 7, verse 22. He says, for my inner being, I delight in God. Like, I love God. How many of you guys love God? Love God? I love God. He goes, I delight in God's law. Like, I know it's good. But he goes, watch this. And this is for those of you who are on the fence about Christianity, or you feel like all those Christians are judging you all the time. Just so you know, we're not perfect. We know we're kind of screwed up. So that's why we need forgiveness. He goes, but I see another law at work in the members of my body. In other words, the parts of my body that I'm not surrendering to God, these areas of my body, I see them waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. In other words, there's a war going on in your body right now. Just like Paul, who loved God with all of his heart. I mean, the guy wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He saw Jesus on a road to Damascus, and his life went from a sinner that was killing Christians to one that was completely revolutionized and sent on mission to be a follower of Jesus for the rest of his life, who would eventually be martyred for his belief in Jesus. Now, if a guy that saw Jesus on a road, a fully resurrected, glorified Jesus that knows the truth, that knows without a shadow of a doubt that this is the way, can still be led astray by sin here and there. If he could do it, then man, I'm guilty as well. And maybe, just maybe, if you're honest, there's parts of your life that you'd say, I'm warring. During COVID-19, I'm warring. When no one's watching, I'm warring against this thing. He says, what a wretched man am I. You ever felt like that? What was I thinking? How could I do that? Who will rescue me from this body of death? I got an answer for you. I want to explain to you why Jesus can rescue you. There's three areas that God wants to address, I think, this morning in this season. I want to bring them up to you. There's three heavy words that when you read in your quiet time, you skim over these things and you go to Philippians 4:13. You're like, where's the good stuff? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that's the one you post on your Instagram, and that's the one you post on your Twitter, and those are the ones you write on your wall. But the ones that talk about the words I'm going to share this morning, we don't post this on our post-it note on our mirror. We don't put this in our, you know, in our, you know, you write it in our journal and go back to it and look for strength. We usually fast forward these ones, and I just want to slow down this morning because I just care so much about you. And for some of you, you're like, you don't even know me. I don't know you, but I pray for you and I love you. If you're tuning into this, I love you. Some of you need to hear that. I love you. God loves you. We're for you. Active Church is a place you can call home. If you need prayer, we want to pray with you and for you. We love you. But listen, I need you to receive this morning. I need you to put aside your whatever preconceived notion. Just know that we love you, and I'm going to speak truth in grace. There's three areas. The first one I want to talk about is, here's the word, addiction. Addiction. No one ever thinks of themselves as an addict. I mean, you think of like Dave Chappelle, like, you know, like scratching his neck and like begging for some drugs on the street. Like that's an addict, right? You know, you got this guy that's like, hey man, can I get some crack? You know, hey man, can I get some money? You think of that guy that's strung out and you're like, I'm not like that guy or that girl. I get it. I get it. We're not to that extent, maybe. But maybe, just maybe, we have more addictive traits in our lives than we would admit. Maybe, just maybe, we all have a little addict in us. And an addict or an addiction is just means something we don't really have full control over. That we do it and we don't want to do it. If I phrased it like that, how many would you raise your hand? I got some things in my life that I don't like that I do, but I keep doing them. That's an addictive personality. That's an addictive trait. We keep going back to it, but we don't want to. So, what do we do about that? Here's what the Word of God says. He says in Romans, Paul says in Romans 6:12, he says, therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Don't offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God, for sin shall not be your master. And that word master in the Greek, it means to rule over. Something in you and in me, in seasons, maybe during COVID-19, we've allowed to master us. What do I mean by that? We've allowed certain things to rule over us. So, for example, I'm going to give you a few questions you might ask yourself. These are some questions I've been asking myself in this season. I think it'll help you as you figure out, as you push away from the table maybe, I want you to lean in and go, I want you to ask yourself these questions. They're real simple questions. Are you ready? I got four of them. Number one, I've been asking myself this, and you should ask yourself this as well. Can I go 1 week without it? Like Instagram, social media, your phone. I understand it's a tool, and you know, you pull it out, and but when you go to it, are you, whatever that thing is, could you say no to it for 1 week? Netflix. How many of you guys have been watching a little too much Netflix, to be honest, right? Like a little too much Hulu, a little too much Prime. You know, we kind of go from tile to tile on our TV. Does that mean it's bad? I would say that I don't want to be ruled by anything. I would say that I want to be an example to my kids of what it looks like to be free, to stay free. And there's seasons in your life, and there's seasons in my life. And right now is a season for all of us where we're at home, we got some idle time, and we're thumbing through, and we're looking at, and we're bored with, we want to escape into. And I'm just saying, if the shoe fits, wear it. Number two, and actually, by the way, let me back up. This is why we fast and pray. We fasted and prayed during the first 21 days of this year because we want to say, hey, our flesh is not in control of what we do, say, think, or feel. Like, our flesh is in submission to the Spirit of God. So when you fast and you pray and you do something to refrain from, what you're actually doing is you're actually saying, I have control of my body because Christ reigns in me. He gets to call the shots, not the other way around. Maybe some of us need to do a fast this week. I don't know. Here's the second question. Is it leading you to even greater isolation? We're already isolated a little bit. And you're like, well, no, not really. Or maybe it is. Maybe you're pulling away. That's what sin does. And that's what things, when we're doing things in the dark, we pull away from people and things that we normally would have find joy in. The third question is, do you arrange your schedule around it? Do you think, okay, if I could do this, then I could do that, and I could kind of go to this place or do this thing? Do you arrange your life around it? And number four, this is a big one. Are you trying to keep it a secret? I've heard it said you're only as sick as your secrets, and I don't say that to condemn you. I say that out of love. We all have some secrets, and I think for many of us, for some of us, especially in this season, it's hurting us. And I don't want to confuse you. Don't look at me and say, well, you got stuff too. I got stuff. I'm a work in progress. But can I tell you something? I've had some victory. I'm not perfect, but man, I've had some conversations. I've had some tough talks with people I look up to and said, hey, I need you to pray for me. I got a small group of guys that know kind of what's going on and I can be honest with. I got guys that we have passwords and protection on our computers. You know what I'm talking about? So let me ask you, when you read this verse, what comes to mind? Don't get drunk on wine, Ephesians 5 says, which leads to debauchery. That word debauchery, we're going to unpack that in a moment. It just sounds like a bad word. Debauchery. Don't get all debauched on everybody. Instead, it says, be filled with the Spirit of God. So what is this word? My second word is debauchery. This sounds, I'm going to get to the good stuff. I'm going to give you hope, but I got to give you the truth too. Debauchery just means extreme indulgence. It means like, I'm just going to give in to every one of my desires. It doesn't have to be some sexual thing. It could be anything. It doesn't have to just be drinking. It could be me eating like three, I actually ate like 3.5 donuts that night. Not going to lie. I'm just being real. I ate Brixton's that was half eaten. And the chocolate was pulled off, and I ate 3 maple donuts. Gosh, Sounds bad just saying it. But it's giving in. It's like saying, I'm not holding back. I'm just going to give in and let my body do what it wants to do. That's it. That's debauchery. And usually we see that coupled with sexuality, sensuality, alcohol. It's usually paired with something that's very, very, like in the right context is okay, but just given over to is it could really ruin your life. It's just letting your body call the shots. And that's not a good thing. Especially when it's 10 o'clock at night and you're just shoving food down your face like me. Debauchery, it's giving over your whole life to something and then later regretting it. Number three, this is a big one, sexual immorality. You know this, the New Testament is written in a Greek dialect, Aramaic and Greek. The word, we'll put it down here on the lower thirds in the Greek. That's the Greek word, but look what it translates to. It translates to porneia. Sexual immorality is porneia. That tripped me out the first time I saw that. Because this is an area of life that I read a statistic that people that are addicted to pornography, it's the least likely addiction to be dealt with. It's the most shame-filled, covered up, not going to go there. People will get help for things like overeating and heroin use or methamphetamine or whatever before they'll actually take care of this thing called pornography. And maybe you're going, hey, well, Pastor, what's the big deal? It's me and a screen, man. Like, just me and this screen. It's virtual. There's no one, there's no disease happening. It's just me and my screen. I would press the pause right there and go Google. And not everything you read on the internet is real. I get it. But there's literally hundreds and hundreds of articles written with scientific data that shows that pornography is not just a screen and a person. There is so much more than just than what meets the eye. And I say this in love. But studies show that when you watch pornography on a regular basis, sexual perversion grows the more that you indulge in that porn. It hurts relationships, that your interpersonal relationships will actually suffer. You say, that's what the studies show. That you lose intimacy, actually. If you're married, that you're like, well, I thought it would help the marriage if we did this and kind of watch that. Actually, quite the opposite. You're actually becoming more attached to this actually fake version of intimacy, so that when you have the real thing, it's never going to please because the images that you're seeing on the screen are way different than real life. We know that. Studies show that it desensitizes people to sexual abuse. It causes elevated anger in individuals, men and women, and the worst of all, what it's doing to our kids. I got an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old, man, and I want to protect them as much as I can. But can I tell you that the average age of a kid that watches porn is 11 years old now? Some studies show that the first images they see of pornography are much, much younger than that. That breaks my heart. And does that mean we're wagging our finger and going, no, no, no. Studies show that 80% of Christian males are watching pornography. This isn't like a them. This is all of us, guys. Now, what do we do about that? 1 Corinthians 6:15-18. I want you to read this. And I want you to hear what I'm saying and hear what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? This isn't like, hey, stop being a sinner. No, this is, hey, God's got something way better for us. And if we could turn our eyes to Jesus, not try to be good moral people, but realize that God has something better than us just indulging every desire. That in this season of COVID-19, that we don't have to be slaves just because we're at home doesn't mean we have to be slaves to the things that keep pulling us back into those habits, that we can have freedom and God has freedom. If you want freedom, he's got it available for you. You have to lean in, and I'm going to give you some hope right now. So he says this, don't you know your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with the prostitute? Never. Don't you know that he who unites himself with the prostitute is one with her with body? For it said the two shall become one flesh. He's saying, hey, listen, what you unite yourself to becomes a part of you. And we're bringing that And you're going, it's the kind of sin that we go, what have I done? Why am I doing that? Why do I go back to that? What's happening? And I want to give you three truths that are going to help you battle this during COVID-19 and battle this during the future, because you need to know that God is not going to leave you feeling shameful on Saturday and then feeling forgiven on Sunday. And then he doesn't want you to walk this yo-yo walk. He wants to give you freedom, and he wants to help you fight those urges. He wants to help you fight against these. So here's the number one, the first truth. I would actually declare this every morning. I've been doing this. I have like 10 declarations that I wrote down. I don't do it every day. I wish I could say I did, but I have 10 declarations. But here's a declaration for you to proclaim tomorrow morning. Okay, you ready? I got some application for you. Number one, I am not my own. Say it out loud. I am not my own. You're not. You're not your own. You're bought at a price. If you're a Christian, you're not your own. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're like, I do what I want. Hey, that's fine. But I'm telling you, I would ask you, how's that working out so far? Because I know I thought I was autonomous for many years until I realized that what really wasn't working out for my benefit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? People always say, oh, we're going to church. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, I get this. I get the colloquialism. Hey, the house of God, and hey, this is the sanctuary. But can I just give you a heads up? This ain't a sanctuary. This is not the house of God. God does not dwell in a place. He dwells in the hearts of men and women. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are where God decides to dwell. And I just wonder, like when people go into church, they don't want to say a bad word. You ever notice like people, even like people that cuss like a sailor, they go into a church or a holy area or like a cathedral or a Catholic place, and it's like they'll take their hat off. They quiet themselves a little bit. God forbid they drop an F-bomb at church. They would never do that. But they go out to the parking lot, they'll light up, and they're like, bleep, 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 bleep. You know, it's like there's this level of like, I could live my life, but when I go into the holy place, I'm very reverent. It's like, no. What if you, this week, what if you're like, this is the holy place? This is where God dwells. As a follower of Jesus, this is where I bring, this is, God is dwelling in the holy of holies in my heart. What am I letting in? I don't know about you, but when people come over to my house and I'm like we have people over later today, I'm cleaning. I told Stacey, I'm like, did you clean the bathroom? Did you think I'm gonna vacuum? Why? Because we want people to come in and not think we're a bunch of slobs, okay? God himself has taken up residence at your address in your heart. How does your house look on the inside? That's not even my notes. That's for somebody. What does it look like? I want to clean up, man. Not for the sake of, because God needs me to clean up because he doesn't love me. He loves me regardless. You want to know why I want to clean up my house? Because I want to give God glory with every part of my life, including the body that he's given me. What God has given me is this great, great life. And it's such a gift. And my gift back to him is living a life worthy of the calling that Christ has given me. That motivates me to live a life of purity, not because I have to, but because I get to. I get to bring God glory through the way I live my life and treat my body. Amen? So he goes on, he says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Love that. You know, the price, the value of something is determined not by the value intrinsically, but it's determined by the value in which someone is willing to pay for that thing. God emptied heaven and he bankrupted heaven so that your life could be spared and my life could be spared. Isn't that amazing? You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. See, these things are not just, it's not just about getting saved and going, okay, cool, I get to go to heaven. It's about honoring God with our bodies. So, a couple truths. My body is the place where God dwells. My body is the place where God dwells. Matthew 6:22 says something profound about that. And I want to just encourage you. My pastor taught a message one time about Job. And he said Job had made a covenant with his eyes not to look at a woman lustfully. And I thought that was interesting. And he broke it down. He said, you know, Job had made this agreement with God that he wouldn't look at a woman that was not his wife with lustful intentions. And I thought, man, I was like 22 years old. I was like, I need to get a hold of this contract because this is hard. Like, it's hard. How do you do that? And he said something. He gave us some pointers. He said that your eyes are like the windows to your soul. And he read this verse, and I'll never forget it, because your eyes, if you could control these things, I'm telling you, it's not fail-safe, because a lot of you guys have, you know, we all have our imaginations, but I'm telling you, if you can control what you look at with these things, you'll have a lot more victory than you wouldn't if you could figure out how to figure out what you're looking at and what you're not looking at. Here's what Jesus says. The eye is the lamp of the body. In other words, it's what illuminates everything else. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. What's he saying? He's saying, this is so important. These two things will let in things that are good or let in things that are not good. If we can manage these, we'll be much better off. Romans 5:8-5 says, those who are dominated by sinful nature think about sinful things. But watch this. But those who are controlled by the Spirit. What does it mean to be controlled by the Spirit? It means I surrender control to God. I'm no longer the judge, jury, and executioner of everything in my life. I don't get to say, God, what do you want me to say to this person? How do you want me to take this phone call? How do you want me to look at that woman? How do you want me to talk to that individual? How do you want me to respond, Holy Spirit? Do I bat 1,000? No, I don't, okay? I wish I could stand up here and say, I figured it all out. Just read the Bible for 3 hours every day and pray for 2. And no, we all fall short. Man, I need God's grace. So do you. But I could tell you one thing. When I make this a priority, I see victory. I'm controlled by the Holy Spirit. Think about these things that please the Spirit. So here's the first application. If you're taking notes, write this down, and then we'll close it up. Application number one, detox. You got to detox. What am I saying? Some of you, you're not eating clean. You need, like I told Stacy, we're going to start eating clean this week. It's like we're going to eat. You know, they say breakfast, eat like a king. Lunch, eat like a prince, and dinner, eat like a pauper. The problem is, about 9 o'clock at night, some of you guys hear the saying, long live the king! That's a dad joke. You like that? Maybe it's getting rid of social media. Wow. Some of you can't even fathom that. Delete Instagram tile. Oh, delete TikTok. I'm not even going to do a TikTok thing. I mean, I that's all I got. That's like 4 years old. Don't judge me. I could do the, we did one of them, but I won't do it for you. Maybe it's an addiction that you've been struggling with. You need a detox from that. Those pills, smoking that ganj. How did he know? I know. God's watching you right now, man. Yeah. Maybe it's that alcohol that you thought you could have one glass of wine. And maybe for some of you, that's fine. Hey, if the shoe fits, wear it. But if not, don't. I'm not trying to judge you. Those are gray areas. But you know if you've had too much. You know if you've been going to that as a crutch, not as a thing that you just do socially or whatever. You know if you're hiding it. And how many of you had now? You're like, oh, that was my second. And it's like your sixth because you just did something. You just chugged something that no one else saw. You know it. So I'm not judging you. I'm just trying to peel back the onion layer and let us know. We have some things that we need to detox from. Maybe it's too much Netflix, but you need to realize that maybe you can take a week, this week, 7 days, and say, I'm backing away from the table. I'm not going to be doing that anymore. Maybe, just maybe, it's asking someone for help and saying, hey, I need a little help. Hold me accountable in this. Number two, my body belongs to God. So therefore, I urge you, brothers, Romans 12, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And that's the application for this point, worship. I'm giving you 3 truths and 3 applications. The first is detox. The second is to worship. How do I have my God? How do I allow God to have full access to me? I worship him. Some of you need to turn on some worship. I've been listening to the songs, Graves into Gardens. Oh my gosh. He turns graves into gardens. Da-da. I'm like, yes, Lord. And I feel like God is doing something in me. I feel like I don't want to sin. when I'm listening to worship music, when I'm listening to Rattle by Elevation Worship, and I'm like, yes, like these dead bones come to life. I'm like rocking out, like praising God. I don't want to give into temptation when I got worship going on. I want to crush those things that are trying to crush me when I'm worshiping. So maybe you need to worship today. Put on some worship music and get after it. And number three, my body was made to honor God. You know, this is kind of one of my pet peeves. For too long, the church has been known for what they're against. Oh, you know, you don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with those who do. There's churches that you can't even dance at. Like, come on, dancing. I'm not going to dance for you. I don't know. I'm not that good. But there's churches that just, you know, we aren't those times. You know, it's like, let's stop being those people. Let's just be people that are known for what we're for. I'm for people. I'm for forgiveness. I'm for redemption. I'm for people that want to say, you know what? I got some junk, but man, I'm better than I was yesterday. Man, I messed up last week, but man, I'm back on the right track today. Man, I don't have it all figured out, but man, I'm better than who I used to be, and I'm going to be better next week. I want to be a church that's for people, that's for people that want to move forward in their life. I want to be a church that says, you know what? I'm not going to get down on you if you messed up, but I am going to tell you, you know what? You're better than that. You got something better in you, man. You're a better husband than that. You're a better wife than that. You got greatness in you. You just got to walk in that faith. You know, it's not like you better pray. No, it's like I get to pray. Or you better read your Bible. No, I get to listen from the scriptures, the holy canon of God that's been breathed on by the creator of the universe, and he wrote me a book so that I could know what pleases his heart. I don't have to read my Bible, church. I get to read the words of a holy and mighty God who loves me. Can I get an amen? This isn't a message of you can't. This is a message of you get to. One of the secrets to getting your body under control isn't to keep telling it what not to do. It's to understand that your body has a purpose and you were designed to please the heart of God with how you use your body. Application. You have a purpose. One of the best ways to stay pure in your body is to have something more meaningful to do on the outside than what you want to do on the inside. It's to have a greater purpose. It's like the minute you became a dad, if you have kids, you said, oh my gosh, that little human being needs me. I got to get my stuff together. I know a lot of guys that went from boys to men. I'm not going to sing it, but I almost wanted to. But they went from like immature dudes to guys that like have a purpose because all of a sudden they have a kid. Like, man, I got to get my act together. All of a sudden, when you have a greater purpose, the outside things, and you start seeing like, oh, wow, God has something for me to do. Suddenly, the things that are so easily entangled me, all of a sudden like, yeah, getting drunk was fun for a season. No one gets drunk because it's not fun. It's fun. Like you get drunk with your friends. You're like, man, this is great. But then all of a sudden you have that moment of, man, this is great. And then you wake up the next day. You're like, oh my gosh, give me a Tylenol. Where's the coffee? Oh, I got a headache. See, it's fun for a season. Sin is always fun for a season, but it's the result that pulls me back from my purpose that I hate. See, sin is something that gets in you that's good for, it looks good for a moment, but it actually robs you the thing that you actually want, which is joy and peace and love and acceptance. That's why it's only found in God. See, purpose motivates me to do the things I don't want to do now so that I can fulfill my God-given purpose later. Now, I'll close with the story, and it's just, I'll tell you, I'm not going to read you a bunch of verses, but there was a king that you know named David. And King David one day was supposed to be at war, but he was not, and he was at home, and he was hanging out on his balcony, and he looks down, and he sees this woman named Bathsheba taking a bath, okay? I was wondering if she's taking a shower, would she be called Shower Sheba? maybe not. But she's taking a bath and she's naked, dude. And she's just hanging out. And she's a beautiful woman. And David's like, I like that. I want that. Go get her. And he tells his guys to go get her. And like, hey, bro, David, that's Uriah's wife. He's on the front lines fighting. She's married. And he's like, bring her up to me anyways. His body was saying, I want that. I'm going to take that. I'm the king. Now, David loved God. As a matter of fact, that Jesus came from the line of David. Like, so God's never not with David. God's always heart. He says that David was a man after my own heart. Like, David loved God, but he was still capable of something that was so evil. How could he do that? Maybe it's the same reason we can go to church and then the next day we could be people that were like looking in the mirror going, who are you? But I want to highlight just a real quick little thing. He takes this woman to be his wife. He basically impregnates her and then sends off, he tries to get Uriah to come home so that he could make it go away and make them think that it was their baby. Uriah says, no, I want to stay out there. I'm not going to go. My men can't be here. I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to make love with my wife, so I'm just going to be out here. And so eventually David has him killed. But something we miss, and this is something I want to tell you, encourage you. In 2 Samuel 11, it says, in the springtime, at the time when kings go to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army, but David remained in Jerusalem. David stayed home. And I just wonder, some of you are at home right now, and you're a fighter. And man, you got purpose in your blood. You got purpose running through your veins. You've been going so hard. And 2 months ago, all of a sudden, the world stopped. And you stopped fighting for the things that matter. You are a purpose-driven, God-ordained person to really make an impact for this kingdom. But yet you stopped fighting and you stayed at home. And now the enemy is tempting you. I got a good word for you this morning, sir. I got a good word for you, ma'am. Young person, get back in the fight. Stop laying down and giving into those things that God's already given you victory for and stand up and say, I may be home right now and I may not be having all the things I want, but man, I'm not going to lay down and I'm not going to give into the temptation and I'm going to do something that's going to take radical faith. And here's what it is. Here's what I want you to do. There's two things you need to do. Confess your sins to God and confess your sins to a friend. Confess to God. So you need God for forgiveness. That's what James tells us. We see in 1 John, it says, confess your sins, and God who's able and just to forgive you from all unrighteousness, he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But here's what the reality is. You need God for forgiveness, but you need the people of God for healing. You need a friend right now, and maybe you don't have a friend. That's a good reason to get in a life group. But maybe, just maybe, there's someone in your life right now that you need a text. And you know, right now, so I'm going to pray for you as we close, but I'm going to pray right now, right where you're at, I want you to ask God for forgiveness. Let's just do it together. Let's just pray this. God, forgive me. I need forgiveness. Stop right there. You're forgiven. You're like, what? That easy? You're forgiven. That's how easy it is. Be forgiven. Shame off you. Shame off you. Your body is God's holy instrument. All the things that you've done, God's paid for those things on the cross. You are free, forgiven, you're made new. But here's what you need to do now. You need to call somebody and ask, or meet up with somebody and go and hang out and just say, dude, say, girl, whatever you call your best friend, and just say, I'm struggling, please help me. There's too many friendships I've had that after the fact, I said, why didn't you tell me? Too many marriages I've seen that have gone astray, gone awry. Why didn't you reach out? I was ashamed. No, this is not the time to buckle into sin. This is the time to just say, yes, God, I'm going to confess to you and ask you for forgiveness, and I'm going to confess my sins to one another and watch what God does. He'll bring healing to your life. Let's pray. God, right now, I just thank you so much. I thank you that you don't weigh us down with rules and regulations. God, that you give us guardrails and you give us paths that lead us to life. And for some of us, Lord, this season has been hard. And God, I know it's been hard on me. There's days where I feel like it's just, I don't want to try. I just want to kind of do what I want to do. And I make it about Adam. It's an Adam day. And there's days where I wake up, God, and I'm proud to say, Lord, more often than not, Lord, I'm in your word, and I'm studying and I'm learning and I'm leaning in and I'm praising you. And on those days, God, I feel like I have victory running through my veins. And God, I want that for our people. I want them to know the God that gives them victory behind closed doors. I want them to know the ability to walk boldly before you and to walk courageously and boldly in the light and say, you know what? I got nothing to hide. There's no computer history I gotta hide. There's no sin or secret, no addiction. I'm free. I want that for you, and I want that for your life, and I want that for your family and your kids and your kids' kids. But you have to start right now. You need to ask God to give you the power and the strength, and you cannot do that without Jesus. I couldn't do it. All my friends that I know that weren't saved, that are saved, couldn't do it. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to give you freedom over your sin, and the only way you can do that is by surrendering your life to God. I'm telling you, it's the only way. That's it. So God, right now, I know we're just looking at a camera, but God, would you give that person that's on the other side of that screen the humility and the power to say, I need you, Jesus. Just say it out loud. I need you, Jesus. I give you my life. It's yours. Forgive me. I'm following you. God loves you. He forgives you, and he's got a plan for you.